The State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs Committee will come to order. This morning, or this afternoon, we're going to continue talking about what our expectations are of what is needed to build a finance bill. But before we do that, is there anyone that came prepared to introduce themselves today that hasn't done that in the past? Okay, Representative Detmer, you have a special guest today.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I would like to introduce one of my sons. As you know, we have twin sons, and Major Travis Detmer, who's in the active Army. He's here visiting. He's shadowing me today. He's had three deployments, two in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Afghanistan. Now he and his family are based out of Fort Knox, Kentucky. We have four grandchildren with him and his wife. His wife's a JAG officer, a lawyer with the military. And he's currently he's currently at Georgetown University getting his master's degree in communications. And so, but I'd like to welcome to our committee.
Welcome. Did you bring a picture? You didn't know, so you're excused from that. But thank you for visiting with us today. As I read through the responses to the request for information on gathering knowledge for building a budget and building trust, four words were used consistently and many times. Suppose that's kind of redundant, but one of those words was efficient. One was transparent. One was fair. And one was balanced. And I thought to start with today, I should ask, what do you mean by fair? And the committee members sometimes use the word fair for things. So even though you didn't respond to the request for information because I didn't ask you to, please feel free to participate. What do we mean by fair when we're developing a budget bill? Representative Detmer.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think when the different agencies come in to the committee and giving their request, I think as a committee we're going to be looking at what the target is for this committee and what the governor has budgeted and then what the requests are from the different agencies, different departments. And I think we'll try to be as fair as we can in at least providing the funding that is requested and across the board. So.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first two words that come to mind is responsible and responsive, and I look at that both from the perspective of the taxpayer and the people that we serve, and should be both the same thing. But I'm looking at the agencies for that and this committee.
So I've heard we have to listen. We have to give everyone an opportunity to be heard think about responsibility, response, and then be responsive to what has been requested and what is presented before us. Anyone else? Representative
Kahn,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I always answer to that. One of the things I think we'll all discover is that the things that go through this committee are so much less visible to the public than health, education, welfare, and so forth. So this sometimes has to be a role of educating about how things that we do affect those other topics that people get much more emotional about.
Representative Leidiger?
Well, I think Representative Kahn kind of touched on it, but I think fairness to the taxpayer, I think that we have to keep that in mind in terms of when we build the budget. I think we have to keep in mind that they're in this too. They're dealing with the economy, which is still struggling. There's a huge shift going on in the private sector, and we in government have made huge expenditures over the last many years in how we operate government in terms of the infrastructure. And I think it's time that we keep the taxpayer in mind, keep our budget fair, and make sure that we understand that we're doing the business of the taxpayer. Be fair to them.
Have the taxpayer as a priority.
Very much so.
There were people that responded that used the word fair. At least six responses contained the word fair. Anyone else? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess thinking about the word fair, is it fair? I mean, how do we want to describe that? Is it fair if you make a 5% cut across the board and that's treating everybody equally? Is that fair? I know I served on the Transportation Finance Committee for a lot of years, and such a small portion of our budget there was general fund dollars, and so we would get a 5% cut, almost would take away the whole budget at times. I mean, so it's is that fair? I mean, we're looking at different parts of government, and one part may only have two employees there, and a 5% cut may be laying one person off, and one may have 100 employees, and 5% cut may not affect them as much. So it's, you know, it's again how we describe that fair. I think we need to look at, as we're looking at fair, what, you know, what are we, when we're setting the budget up, what are we trying to, the outcomes we're trying to get, and our, you know, at some point, if we're just going to make straight across the board cuts, we're going to have to decide about, are we going to eliminate things? And we're going to have to make that decision on what to eliminate, because it may not be fair to cut it so far that it can't operate, and then we expect results out of them, but they're not able to get the results because they don't have the staff or don't have the resources to do what they need to do.
Good point. Representative Newton.
I think also, Madam Chair, that we have to look at the fact that whatever the base budget of the various organizations may be now may not meet their needs or may exceed their needs, and that we can't start with the existing budget as exactly what they need. We have to listen to them to see what they are doing, and as changes have come about in their operations, that we make sure that we fund them adequately.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, you know, I think that this committee did a lot of work last year, bipartisanly, in fact, to work on efficiencies in government services. I often think that fair is often in the mind of the beholder. And when I look at the work that we need to do, I look at it this way. Whether you're a big G government person or a little G like me, it is the taxpayer getting the government they're paying for. So I really see it as, you know, and what this committee does. And Representative Kahn's got a long legacy of helping to bend down the cost curves of government agencies with backroom technology and things of that nature. But I think in the end it is what we're paying for, is it the best we can provide and the most efficient and effective? And so it is, are we getting all the government we're paying for?
Which Representative Benson just led us right into the next word then. What's efficiency? That was used at least 5 times. Efficient government. Efficient. And you used the word twice. Now, what do we mean? Representative Leidiger.
I'll take a stab at that. Once again, we have made investments in technology over the years. When are we going to see the payoff? When are we going to finally see that payoff in the investment in technology and how it relates to government? Because we've done that. In the private sector, we have companies which have streamlined their operations enormously. And I won't put a number on it, but we all know that, and there's stories about that. And we need to explore that. We need to dive into that within government. We have made those investments. When do we get the payoff? And at what point, and how are we going to drive towards that payoff? And that is where I see our job. There should be a reduction in numbers of people. There should be better services for less costs and less numbers of people that are operating this. And that drives right down to efficiency. That's the definition of it. I mean, we've done billions of dollars over the many years in high-tech systems. Let's get the payoff. The taxpayers deserve it. And I just want to, and one of the things, and we did do a lot of work last time, and one of the things that we really tried to do was push that baseline budgeting. And I would love to see us push that, at least do that within our own committee. And how we do that, I'm really not sure. How do you mandate, okay, let's take it from zero and let's really rebuild. And, you've been here a lot longer and you know this. So I hope you can help us.
I think that to go from zero to the base is a little out of reach for the next month and a half at least, because of the changes that have taken place in the new budgeting system. And we'll probably be talking about that a little bit later, but we spent an hour and a half, Representative Carlson and I spent an hour and a half with MMB, Ms. Roberts, on Thursday, asking why we didn't have more information and trying to understand what the new system problems were. And I think we're going to be getting more information quickly, or shortly, not quickly, but shortly, and we asked for additional information, and we're going to be getting that. But one of the questions that we had after we were over was, even if we wanted to do a pilot, which I kind of wanted to do on a couple things, I'm not sure we could do that this year, but it's coming. But thank you for letting me tell you about that. Representative Kahn has worked for a long time to get all the technology together, and that was one of the goals, and that's one of the things that made her willing to give up the committee and take on a new challenge, because her goal supposedly is achieved now. But I think as we go on with the responses and talking about the responses to information number one, building a bill and building trust, I was amazed at reading the number of responses that said that they were able in the last 10 years to address the cuts that they had in their budgets through technology. Mm-hmm. And that I don't know of any of the responses that said they were better off financially now than they were before, but they had met the service that they had been doing before. They're still meeting the service today, and primarily because of the technology changes. So I thought that's something good. Representative Dan.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of efficiency, I don't always think of less, because sometimes the return on your investment creates sometimes a much greater return. And I think that if we begin to think of efficiency only as less versus what is going to be the outcome of the financial resources brought to bear, I think we're really selling ourselves short, because some of these departments have been doing a lot with a lot less, and they could be doing probably a whole lot more if they actually had those resources that could get them there. So I hope that we continue to think about efficiency sort of in a more global perspective than just that it always means less.
Thank you. Anyone else want to give us some ideas about what you thought efficiency, when you use the term efficiency, or your response to number one, an outcome that you wanted us to deliver? Okay, the next word that was used four times was balance. You guys wrote, and these are the people that are responding. I hope these people are saying what you were thinking when you wrote and used those words. But I'm not sure what we mean by balanced. When I use the word balanced, I'm thinking that we have to meet our goals. And maybe there's more revenue, but there's also some cuts. And that's what, when people tell me about balance, that's what I think they're saying. Am I correct? Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm loving the fact that I don't certainly want to dominate, because there's a lot of people around here that I'm sure have opinions about these issues. But
they're shy.
They're shy. Okay, I'm not. Mm-hmm. So don't let me. Anyway, Madam Chair, when I think of balance, really, each one of these agencies have a mission and goals, objectives, and tactics to get there, and they have a constituency that they serve. As long as we're not adding in mission creep of some sort, when I think of our job here, it is to get the maximum out of the resources that are made available to them, capital, financial, human resource, and that's our goal. Reviewing the performances that they had, looking at the budget as we're going to develop it over the next couple of years, and making sure that we're presenting fairly, if you will, the goals. Quantity and quality are both of those things that need to be part of it. I'm not sure when you say balance exactly from an agency perspective, in my mind, if they've replied like that, is, yeah, sure, there's more that we can do to cut, but don't cut us to the bone, you know. But I think they should get the resources they need in order to carry out the mission that we've given them. So if they can do that more effectively and efficiently, then they need less. But if they need more to carry out the mission that we've given them, then we've got to look at where do we get that from as a committee. And I think that's our job over the next 4 or 5 months, to be crafting a budget that fairly represents the agency's needs and the constituencies that they serve.
Anyone else? Representative Leidiger.
Well, I suspect that those that talked about balance were people that just didn't want to be cut. Okay, if you're going to cut that agency or increase that agency's funding, me too. I suspect that is probably the context of the response. But my question is, when was the last time we saw an agency come before us and say, I don't need as much as I needed the last biennium, because that investment has paid off within my department. We're able to accomplish our mission with X amount, which is lower than what they had previously. Has that ever been done?
Representative Kahn?
Representative Nelson seems to have an example. I'd immediately ask
Well, Madam Chair,
Nelson.
I think back to last year when I served on the Sunset Commission, we had a group that came forward that a labor interpretive center that originally had been funded to be built, and then Governor Ventura cut that out of our line item, vetoed it out of the budget. But they've been in existence since then, and they came forward and said, we don't need to be here anymore. We built a memorial that was put on the mall out front of the Capitol, and so our mission is done. You can sunset us. So that does happen. Maybe not as frequently as we might all want to see, but that's an example from just last year.
Representative Kahn?
Well, Madam Chair, following up on that, I certainly hope whoever the current members are of the Sunset Commission are going to come to us and say it's time to get rid of the Sunset Commission, which I opposed having in the first place.
Didn't get a response for information.
Well, Madam Chairman, one of the things is I think that this division and every other division of appropriations actually acts as a sunset division in every committee, every year that we meet. And so I think that's all that we need. We don't need to clutter up the statutes and clutter up people's thoughts that something's going to be taken care of by someone else.
Anyone else? Anyone else on balance? Representative Kresha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I think of balance and Representative Leidiger, I understand the question, has anybody come up and asked for less? When I think of that, and I've met with many of the folks and their agencies, I don't think that's their responsibility. I think their responsibility is to do the very best they can. And on the balance side of the approach, it's our responsibility to evaluate those the best we can and to offer appropriations and solutions. So when I see the balance, I absolutely understand if I was in their position what they're fighting for, but I ask the same amount of respect on our side as we fight for our constituents and the most efficient use of those dollars.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's another way in which balance works into all of this, and that is obviously when we get our target. It could be that our target is less than the sum of all the governor's recommendations, in which case we're going to have to be doing cutting, if by cutting you mean not necessarily versus what they got last year, but cutting from what the recommended 14-15 budget amount is. And if you layer on top of that any increases or special treatment we want to give to particular agencies or groups that we might have a bias in favor of after listening to all the testimony, then that becomes even more an issue of balance. So, I mean, we may have to. It could be that whoever sets the budget target, presumably the Speaker and others here in the House, might decide that we're going to have a low target, in which case we're going to have to cut, as I've just described, and any increase we want to give someone else has to come out of the hide of one of the others on the list. So if you want to give more to X agency, you've got to find it somewhere. And that's what we're going to have to do.
Thank you for adding that to our list, because that that is really important. And when the time comes, I want to talk about what's with those setting the targets on what's fair. In that context, but and what Representative Nelson that and you point mm-hmm. out then we would really have to consider what Representative Nelson said, because balance doesn't necessarily mean across the board. Representative Howe.
Well, Madam Chair, thanks. I think balance also needs to take into account accountability and expectations, because I think we need to set those expectations and then balance that with the accountability that we set as we give them those appropriations. We need to set that expectation that this is where we need them to be at, and then we need to hold them accountable for that, because I think a lot of times we give appropriations and they may give us the expectations that goal that they expect to hit with that appropriation. But I see very little of holding them accountable for failing to hit that expectation. So I think balance plays into that. We need a balanced approach on how we effectively do that.
Anyone else on balance? You were going to jump in. Is that
what's the
moment?
Next word?
Is that moment passed? All right.
I jump in then, maybe.
Okay. The next word. Transparent. And that was probably used 7 times. Mm. And I wondered at the time. Our transparency,
I know.
Their transparency,
exactly.
Transparent to us, or transparent to the taxpayer, and there might be differences. Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think of what Representative Kahn said earlier about educating the public. What we do or what the government services do. I mean, get up in the morning and we turn the water on and get a glass of water and the water runs, government's working the way it's supposed to. When that doesn't run, we're all on the phone screaming. I remember back to first snowstorm we had when we had the ice, and at Tuesday there was a reporter was out sticking microphone in people's faces, and the lady coming out of the gas station goes, I pay my taxes, how come they can't plow the roads? When we had an inch of ice on the roads, and they were, you know, it had been cold, so the chemicals they put down wouldn't work. So was government being efficient then, or were they doing their job? And because 2 days later, when it warmed up, the ice all melted away. And that same person wasn't there thanking anybody for doing their job. So I mean, that's kind of what, when you say transparent, some of it's training or educating the public what it is we do, what our expectations of our government, and what level we funded them at. And if we want goals that snow's cleared off the next day, then we need to give them the resources and the tools that they need to do their job. And if we're not doing our job, because we're setting expectations that are unrealistic.
Transparency. Representative Kahn.
Well, again, I always go back to information management as that, and I hope it's still up, but one of the best ones that I ever saw was the, I'm sorry if I said this in this committee before, I'll say it again anyway, for the ARRA, the recovery funds, the state website that we had on that was absolutely incredible. You could look up a subject like health or environment, you could look up a location, and the website just took you on a path to get you everything that you wanted to know about it. I think it was not only useful to agencies and people who know more, but I think it was incredibly useful to the general public. And I always hold that as a model for everything that I want to see in the future, without pretending that I check them all to see if they are.
Anyone else? Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think I am likely speaking for what was coming across in the word transparency and what was presented to you, but that's an important word that I'm very interested in the work that we do. And I think that it's helpful to have transparency within the agencies and then the public of what the laws that govern the work that they do and what they're set out to do, and that everybody understands that. I don't think that's always clear to the public or even internally to agencies. And having a vision and mission that helps achieve those responsibilities, and then a system in place that's efficient and effective in reaching those responsibilities. And I think through that and having clear understanding of why they exist and where they're going and how the system helps makes it happen, that you do get you get a better chance of accountability and efficiency and effectiveness. So that's, if I would have wrote my note and I would be explaining what I meant by transparency, that's what I would share with you.
Anyone else? Representative Leiter.
Thank you. I'd like to link that word transparency to really being open to how we determine the needs of the people, how the agencies would respond to those needs. Clearly, that's what this body does. I mean, it makes its shifts in priorities over the years based on really the changing environment out there, the needs of the people. Now, of course, you want to roll all this together, you can only do what your target says you can do. But I do not subscribe to, you know, these cuts across the board, because clearly I think some things are overtaken by events, right? OB. I mean, you just don't, there are things that government does not need to do anymore. And yet there are things that it clearly should do. The world changes.
The Emerald Ash Borer comes. Mm-hmm. The invasive species. exists. Mm-hmm. Someone from the audience, someone that used the word transparent. I didn't make a list. I didn't make a list. I should have. Is transparency... can transparency be done in other ways than we're using high technology? Thank you. You brave person.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Don Kerr from the Department of Military Affairs. And I don't frankly remember if I used the word transparency in our response, but I'm certainly willing to talk about it because it is something that is very important to General Nash and our agency, because we feel it's very important that we are accountable to the people of Minnesota, to this committee, to the legislature, to the governor, for how we utilize the resources that are provided us by those bodies, along with the resources that are provided us by the federal government. I don't know that high technology is necessarily required for that. What we really rely upon is our communications outreach program, along with our annual report, which, though it was due to the legislature on the 16th of January, is currently at the printers and will be provided shortly, and will be provided to all the members of the legislature once we get that done. But we feel it's very important that the people of Minnesota understand that we are accountable for the resources provided us and that we are willing to show them how we use those resources and be held accountable for them.
Excellent point. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Yoakum with the Department of Administration. I apologize, my thesaurus was obviously lacking since I don't think I used most of the words that you had described today. But that being said, with the question that was just posed for the committee of transparency, other than just using technology, I think obviously technology is a component. I think when I started my job a year ago, one of the things that we noticed is obviously the Department of Administration's website is quite lacking, and it could be much better for both our primary customers, other state agencies, but also for the general public to use and better understand what we do and what services we can provide for them. With that being said, and something that is directly impacted by this committee is when it comes to transparency in our budget is one of the we have Department of Administration is an extremely diverse agency, and one of the services that we provide is the Information Policy Analysis Division, who's the basically along with the Attorney General and helps agencies and the general public and the media interpret data practices and open meeting law in the state of Minnesota. And I think that the customer base for the Information Policy Analysis Division is probably the most diverse for within our agency and probably for any state agency, because everybody does rely on it for different reasons. But I think that is very key to the state of Minnesota and transparency within the state government. I think most of your offices at one time or another have probably used the Chapter 13 data practices to understand, get a better sense of what government is doing and how it operates, how it is spending that money, and that it's one of the more challenging laws to sometimes interpret because people have relied on it so much, and so they've have used it to cover a broad number of issues and from many different approaches, and same with the open meeting law. And so I think that is I think that just having that there, and I think Minnesota has been a leader probably since the 1970s, 1960s on transparency in government by using that Chapter 13 of the Minnesota Data Practices Act. And I think that's, you know, just this year alone, you'll probably this committee, at the very least the Government Ops Policy Committee, is going to be considering quite a few changes to the Data Practices Act. And so I think that is one very organic and living example of transparency in government and what your predecessors have, the values that they've put into making sure that there is openness in government.
I think adding on to that is the number of people that watch the televised meetings, either live or stream them. People across the state. I think I said the first day. I'm just amazed when people talk to me at the grocery store about representative that lives 200 miles away but speaks a lot, and they have opinions, and they say, well, that representative, how do you get along with him?
I'm glad you said him.
and the numbers of people that are paying attention to what's going on. And I think your open meeting example and the data practices example are really huge things that have changed transparency in the state. And even to the smallest level of community government, they know what's in the open meeting law and when it has to be posted, and that people have to be, you have to reach out to people to try to get them there. Yeah. Thank you so much. Representative Denver.
Yeah, in terms of transparency, I just thinking about Director Kern, what he mentioned, you know, our armed forces, they represent every community in the state. And the work that they do, whether it's military affairs or veterans affairs, and all of our troops that are serving overseas and so forth, very transparent. They are very transparent because they represent every part of Minnesota. So that's what I thought about when I the word transparency.
Representative Newton.
I also think transparency has to do with full disclosure. You know, if you're from an agency, to make sure you let us know where the problems are and not just all of the good things that are being done, so that we're not caught by surprise. I think most politicians hate to be caught by surprise by anything, and so does the public, you know, to think that we're funding a program only to find out that there's something wrong with another part of the same program. But I think full disclosure is really important.
And full disclosure on just information, or full disclosure on?
Madam Chair, I think in giving a presentation and talking about what the organizations are doing and the things, the directions they're moving in, we should also know about problems that might be within the organization and how the organizations are addressing those problems.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see technology as simply a tool in conveying the information that's requested. I see transparency more as a policy and integrity, you know, an issue that goes to more about attitude. And, you know, we can talk about all kinds of ways to ensure that people are being transparent by setting up procedures such as technology to, you know, to discover, you know, what agencies are doing. But I think ultimately it comes to an agency's policy. It starts with the people at the top and determines whether or not there is an attitude in that agency of whether or not we're going to be people that are going to be as transparent as possible.
Representative Bernardi.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And to follow up on Representative Benson, I agree with you that it's a tool, and the agency needs to embody being an effective communicator, and technology is a tool to help that. Sometimes technology data is buried so far in it that people don't have access to it, so it's having the mindset of making things accessible to the public. And sometimes technology is used to invite people and engage people, but it comes out a week before or 2 days before, so it was really a hindrance. So technology used properly to engage communities, provide access to information, is a helpful tool. And I'm interested in learning more about the Data Practices Act, because I've actually heard that thrown into people's faces when they've tried to get information from agency. Well, you have to file a Data Practices Act to get that information. So I don't, and maybe that's a totally appropriate thing to say. I just don't know. I need to learn how come the transparency couldn't exist without having that request. And there might be good reason, but that's something I want to learn more about.
Talk to Representative Holberg.
Okay.
Anything else? Anyone else? Does anybody want to tell? Experience in your agency of what you're told about transparency? Want to offer a little bit of experience for us? Or is it just a word? I think what you've given us is a very good start, and I really appreciate your thinking and your thoughtful. Expression of telling us the differences in what you think a fair means, efficiency, balance, transparent. Those are all things that people are expecting this committee to keep at the forefront as we build our bill. And I didn't hear one wrong answer in this process as we went along. And I appreciate that. A lot. The other thing is there, what else should we be thinking of that hasn't been mentioned in the last three meetings at all? But that we should be considering when we put our bill together. Is there anything out there that's just jumped off and said, she hasn't thought about, or she hasn't asked us anything about whatever? If there is, now would be a good time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. I'm Mike McKelney, Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I found it interesting the way you asked that question. What are some considerations that might be beneficial when looking at the appropriations this year in the budget? And going back to what Representative Simon mentioned, where there may be cuts, there may be tough decisions that have to be made. And I think from the standpoint of MDVA, one message that we would like you to clearly understand is we believe that this is our busy season. We're essentially a post-war agency. We've seen troops withdrawn from Iraq. They're still in Afghanistan. They're supposed to draw down there as well. And after, what are we at, 12 years of war and conflict now, we as a veterans agency have seen an increase in our clientele, fortunately or unfortunately. But nonetheless, this is our busy time, and it's going to be for some years to come. The Veterans Affairs federally has made lots of progress, and they have contributed, obviously, significantly to any veterans issues that have been posed in the last 12 years that may have been different from other conflicts. But MDVA is a part of that, and we consider ourselves a bridge to the federal VA in many aspects. And so moving forward and over the next several months, I would just ask you all to realize that this is our busy time. And to use some generic analogies, MDVA, we don't believe that it would be wise to cut tax preparers between the months of January and May, for example, or April 15th, I'm sorry. We don't believe it would be wise to cut heating repair people at a heating repair institution during the winter months. We just don't think that's very wise. So as we look, we realize there's going to have to be tough decisions made. We look around and we go, well, as simple folks at the Veterans Affairs, we don't see an epidemic with the water, so we don't believe maybe that PCA or Department of Health has a significant, not to downgrade them, but we would just ask you to prioritize in your thinking and realize that this is a time when Veterans Affairs is going to be very busy for the next several years. So,
thank you. You're welcome. Very much. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To answer your question, and then to add on a reflection of what I gathered in the conversation that you led here, I don't know that we've talked about innovation that much yet.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Do I get a gold star, Madam Chair? And then reflecting what comments that people had to say around this table, responsiveness to needs, new needs, being nimble. You had mentioned invasive species and, you know, in our water and on land, as well as water, mentioning, you didn't mention this, but water scarcity. There's new and more veterans returning home. So there's we need to be able to be responsive and nimble if government, I believe we can try. And then the other word I heard today that I would add to the list, including responsiveness, would be effectiveness. I heard people talk about that today.
Anyone else? Mr. Mandel?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Mandel, Principal Planner for the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. I did use the word transparent, and I did use the word efficient. But to your question at the end there, speaking to Representative Nelson's point, one thing that we always struggle with, we are a very small agency. When I came on board 25 years ago, we were 5 people with 3 interns. We are now 3 people total. We don't have an information person. We have a website that we have to depend on MIT to help us maintain. That is our means of transparency. We've gotten a lot of compliments for that website. You can do a virtual tour of not only our own capital, but several other state capitals, as well as the Washington, D.C., and the Visitor Center. But one of the problems we face, Representative Nelson hit on it right away, we are a very small agency, and many of the times that a process or a program is rolled out, it's for big agencies. And working on things like COOP, or other kinds of reports. An agency such as ours, I mean, our title is longer than our staff is big. So we have to really struggle to find it's not a one-size-fits-all, and sometimes that's hard to achieve, but it takes a lot of time. And to Representative Leidiger's point, I mean, technology sometimes can help, and sometimes it doesn't recognize the difference in the scale. And sometimes it creates more work than it's worth for a small agency like ours. So that would be one thing I would speak to. But as far as transparency goes, we virtually everything, and we are, we have 4 legislators. We were created by the legislature to report to the legislature. We are not filtered by the governor, so we come directly to you each year, be it in capital bonding requests and such, and tell you like it is. At times we've had as many as 7 legislators, because sometimes the governor is appoint legislators. So that's, I mean, transparency to both you and to the public is our key word.
Great. Thank you. And it was your committee or your board that has need of a laptop. right?
Well, we're looking for a laptop. We're also, one of our struggles is we still do design competitions, and when we have to tell architectural firms that we need slides, and they go, like, what do you mean, slides? And we tell them, well, we don't have the capabilities. We have to either borrow equipment from Department of Administration, which is where we co-locate, so we gain a lot of benefits from co-locating with them in their building. But we have a screen projector, a screen and a slide projector. And so that's the kind of equipment, you know, they say, no one uses slides anymore. And we do. I was going to say one other thing, but I can't remember what it was. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lee?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'll be very brief. I'm Jean Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International, R&R Family Centers, and head of the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. However, in the 1990s, I was community liaison for the Council of Asian Pacific Minnesotans, who will be before your committee. And I have been a part of their activities over the years. There needs to be some changes within that agency. I think the legislative auditor indicated some issues. Not all of them are under the report, and he does have information from the community as far as, you know, changes that will be needed there. And one of it is the process for the governor to be able to fix some of the mistakes that occurs, because it's like, for example, board members are appointed, or any other group that's appointed by the governor, if there are mistakes made, there's a process to correct it, because right now he can't fix some of the problems because of that problem. Also, since they are very...
Excuse me, Ms. Lee, yes. You're speaking of the Asian Pacific...
Council on Asian Council. Pacific Minnesotans. And then the other thing is, since they are a small agency, they do rely on volunteers from the community. And to the extent that some of these smaller agencies can tap into the community who's willing to help them, that's another resource given the budget situation. And then the second agency I want to touch on is DEED, Department of Employment and Economic Development. I was part of advocating for funding for jobs and growth, more openings in jobs at the federal level, thinking that, you know, with the trickle-down, since we didn't get any funding from the legislature, that maybe we could get some for the federal government. It came down, it went through DEED, and it went to the department under DEED that handles Veterans Affairs. And we said, well, that was fine. Our goals were the same as far as use of the money, etc. But in being able to talk with staff members within the department, they're willing to partner with organizations, and I think there needs to be more partnerships and collaborations between the different agencies with other organizations. And the third issue, and I don't mean to pick on the Veterans Affairs, but a bill will be coming before you related to the Hmong veterans, in which we're trying to establish a community task force of stakeholders to help. We understand the VA is short on funds and have limited resources, so we're saying, as community people, we're willing to organize, just, you know, work with us and help so that we could accomplish some of the tasks that are needed, but we don't have the power of the government to be able to do some of the things that's needed. So we understand that only so-called public members who are confirmed have certain powers, and we're saying it needs to be a broader base so more people can participate and get things done. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? It's your opportunity. All right. Thank you. I want to review with you the second, on the request for information, the second question or the first question, I'm sorry, was what outcomes do you expect from this committee? So the people that were responding are telling this committee that they expect or hope that there will be increased spent funding. Some others hope that we will pass the legislative appropriations that they asked for. No big surprises there. But there were some other. One response said they wanted a structured dialogue between state and local officials, a group to work with the governor's office and state agency commissioners on mandate relief, property tax reform, and providing Minnesotans with the services they expect in an efficient and cost-effective manner. They also said that as a result of the dialogue, maybe there would be legislation creating an advisory commission on intergovernmental affairs. And I didn't expect any of those things. So that was an eye-opener for me. Another person, another answer was, I hope you will approve our budget request and change items and give us enough money that will allow us to get our work done.
Madam Chair.
Representative Benson.
For the sake of transparency, over the last couple of meetings, we've heard about the responses and the questions. It would be great if everyone on the committee could get a copy of the questions and how they were responded, if that can be tabulated by someone in your staff and then sent to everyone. It would be greatly appreciated.
We'll consider that. Representative Kahn.
As a suggestion, why don't you just have it in a file at your desk so the people who want to do it can go look at it so that we don't have the problem of putting them into some form
and
sending them out.
In a different form later on.
So if they're, anything that wasn't done privately, I think that would be. And if there are two people there at the same time, they can look at it together at the same time.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just to follow up, I think it would just so the rest of us, at the table here can get some information regarding how these things were answered and some insight into how, with the questions asked and the agencies responded, it wouldn't be that difficult to scan if necessary, but to have them electronically available. All of us are busy in multiple committees, not that I wouldn't like to make a visit to your office, but I just for a matter of convenience and transparency, again, Madam Chair, if we could get a copy of those answers and those questions, I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Another response, question number one, on what outcomes do you expect from this committee? A thoughtful and balanced bill funding the agencies and institutions in its jurisdiction appropriately and in relation to the value each organization returns to the state of Minnesota. Another response. Governor Dayton's budget recommendations for the agency, reinforcing efforts to strengthen voluntary compliance and deliver better government at a lower cost. We expect this committee to increase the operational and equipment grant program. Three new community stations have started broadcasting. The funds that we receive are now being spread to 14 stations instead of 11. We hope to engage in a collaborative and ongoing discussion regarding the needs, particularly the information technology needs that drive and support the missions of state agencies throughout Minnesota. As the 14-15 biennium will mark the first comprehensive IT budget for the newly consolidated organization. We look forward to discussion about the role that a consolidated IT organization can play in developing new online tools for citizens and businesses to engage more easily with state government. Another response, an operating budget adequate to meet the requirements to accomplish our state and federal missions. We hope that there will be support for our policy initiative to revise the Minnesota Code of Military Justice to be more consistent with the Federal Uniform Code and the U.S. Bar Association Model Code of Military Justice. Approval of a biennial budget that supports the responsibilities and functions of our mission. The number of staff employees has decreased throughout the years to reflect the dwindling budget as a result of biennial budget cuts. Help. Shared understanding of the state's needs and goals, legislative priorities, and the ways in which we can meet the needs in education and strengthen communities and civic engagement and support our state's highest aspirations. Fair and transparent process, open channels of communication. At least maintain our current budget. Protect current levels of funding. Transparent bill development process. By working harder, leveraging technology, and streamlining the ways in which our work is completed. Those are the main points that were made in the answers to question number one. I think that our dialogue today will bring us to understanding of how to develop a bill and meeting the expectations of the responders. Representative O'Driscoll suggested the other day that we divide up and become responsible to the committee for the understanding of the goals and missions and budget, base budget, and requested additional budget for this new biennium, and budget requests for this new biennium. And I think that was a good, Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, if I may clarify my comments from last week, I had suggested that as a part of the process, because the comments were in the discussion that we were having about what our targets are going to be. We don't know those. We have the governor's budget coming out, those types of things. My suggestion was, since we had six or seven people who this is their first time through this budgeting process, that it might be a good idea to be able to go through and to learn more about what each of the agencies does, what their requests are in the way of funding, so that when we did get those targets, we were that much further down the line.
And I would, and I think that that was an excellent idea, and I would like to know if you have specific agencies that you would like to be responsible for, and for that learning, for that new information, to gain that information and then become an advocate for that when we're asking what the target should be. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My premise for offering that was that the committee as a whole would get that information at the same time, so we have the benefit of interacting with one another as individuals came before us from the different agencies and different commissions to share with us, so that we could have the benefit of everyone interacting with people, not that we would necessarily break into small subgroups and become experts on those. We would lose the ability to be able to interact with one another. Again, more on a global basis in a group learning environment that I was thinking about versus individual subcommittee or ad hoc work.
Oh. All right. Thank you for that clarification. I was hoping we could adopt, as individuals, we could adopt and be response, so that if there were questions at a time when we were in discussions about the committee members were in discussions when the stakeholders were not necessarily around, that we could have assumed some responsibilities for, yes, I would take this agency and this agency and this agency, and we would be able to, I would be able to know who the person is. And,
Madam Chair.
Discuss. So, if anyone has that interest in mind, let me know, please. Because I think as we go along, we might find that some discussions will take place on certain items. In smaller groups, but I might be wrong. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, Madam Chair. you know, I think most of us are pretty anxious to hear the agencies come in, the different agencies and come in. But I know Representative Norton, and I can probably Newton can probably you know, answer questions to the committee regarding veterans and military affairs, veterans affairs, and so forth. But I think the key thing is getting the agencies in front of us, and so that we know exactly when they're going to be here, so we can prepare questions for them, and then go on with the business of the committee. So.
Is there any other suggestions that you have to the chair for meetings in the future? Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just building a little bit on what Representative Detmer brought forward, as I look around and know a little bit about the backgrounds of the colleagues that are on this board, I think that we have expertise that's built into the board that we'll be able to ask the agencies questions when they come in, who the rest of the members who are not as deep or steep in that information would be able to ask questions, and we'd be able to learn from that. For example, I, along with Representative Howe, have extensive municipal experience, and I know that there are things that are going to be coming forward that are going to deal with those kinds of activities, and we might be able to be of service to the committee as a whole by asking questions on those types of things as testifiers come through or as we're bringing up those budget matters. And so I think that we'll have that ability to interact, and we have House research being available and fiscal analysis available to ask questions, so we can all learn and raise that collective knowledge at the same time.
Appreciate that. And anyone else that has background experience that you'll use to prepare? Let me know as we go along. The minutes, the next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes of January 23rd.
The minutes are before you. Representative Newton recommends adopting the minutes as printed. Is there any discussion or corrections? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
The minutes are adopted. The next meeting will be Wednesday at 12:30. This meeting is adjourned.